This book began with a simple observation. There is more intelligence inside our organizations than we are using. It led to the idea that there is a type of leader, those I came to call multipliers, who saw, used, and grew the intelligence of others, while other leaders, whom I labeled diminishers, shut down the smarts of those around them. When the book was released in 2010, this idea struck a chord with managers around the world, perhaps because it came on the heels of a global recession, a time when a tectonic shift was occurring in management and the ground was moving under all our feet. What was once predictable and manageable had become volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. With the explosion of information, for example, doubling every 9 months in science and technology, there is simply too much for any one person to know. Consequently, the role of leader has shifted too, moving away from a model where the manager knows, directs, and tells, and toward one where the leader sees, provokes, asks, and unleashes the capabilities of others. Ideas that were once considered subversive are the new normal. Diminisher bosses still exist, but like old BlackBerry phones, it's only a matter of time before they become obsolete and people upgrade to newer models. As companies do the math, they realize that they simply can't afford leaders who waste talent, suppress vital innovation, and slow business growth. After all, why would a company pick results-driven leaders who diminish people when they could have leaders who both deliver results and grow people around them? Increasingly, we are seeing diminishing leaders being asked to adapt or leave. Consider the fate of Jorgen, a general manager for a large multinational pharmaceutical company. Jorgen was a classic diminisher who ran a country operation like a dictator and made life miserable for his direct reports. For years, his behavior was tolerated because he delivered results. But then the company underwent a significant restructuring to better respond to changes in the marketplace. Instead of a single person calling the shots from the top, they organized around dynamic teams that could span organizational boundaries. Jorgen, accustomed to being the boss, struggled to adapt to this non-autocratic approach. Several months later, Jorgen was called to the corporate office in Europe and told that his style of leadership wasn't working. Jorgen responded with a compelling presentation that detailed his unit's performance. The executive team stopped him and said, "This is purely a style issue. You can no longer be a leader here." Jorgen was removed from his role as general manager and moved into a lower-level staff role. His former direct reports celebrated when they heard the news, especially the one who was just days away from quitting. But Jorgen wasn't pushed out by staff mutiny. He was a casualty of circumstance. The business environment pushed his company out of the diminisher camp, and he was left behind. We are seeing more and more senior leaders left stunned in similar scenarios. While some organizations seek innovation and agility, others are struggling to do more with less. Matthew Hawes, assistant superintendent of the Albemarle County Public School District in Virginia, said, "We are just running so lean. I can't imagine a world where you could work in silos and not collaborate. You used to be able to isolate yourself, but now efficiency requires collaboration. When you think about what is best for the organization and remove your ego, being a multiplier is the only way to go." While the direction may be clear, we clearly aren't there yet. Gallup's State of the Global Workplace study finds that across 142 countries, only 13% of people around the world are fully engaged at work. SHRM reports that while 86% of Americans were happy with their jobs in 2009, that percentage has been in slow but steady decline ever since.